Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Berea Ministries, a Christian church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for all of you, in gratitude for your participation with me in the dissemination of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it's only right for me to feel this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and I enjoy it that you are all partakers of God's grace with me. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of telling unbelievers about the good news concerning the salvation work of God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life, the Zoe life, the resurrection life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with accurate teaching of the Word of God, so that they might use the truth as a guide for handling every circumstance of life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 say, "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private interpretation, and no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men carried along by God the Holy Spirit spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ." As believers in Christ, we call to mind the importance of Christ and our relationship with him. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the one whom we gather here today to worship. He is the one and only sovereign God. He is the central figure in divine history. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life," the Zoe life. "And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." This and every Bible lesson gives you a chance to tune into the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ on WGOD, the Truth Channel. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 requests that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. Thank you for coming to listen, and thanks for choosing to tune out Satan's channel of influence, KCOS, the Lies Channel, the thought process of God's enemy, which is designed to deceive you and to lead you astray, and to take away your joy. So as God prepares your soul for renewing, let's begin by worshiping our Lord in song. The opening song is "Our God is Greater," and you can feel free to sing along with the song.
Turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness to shine, out of ashes we rise. There's no none like you.
You guys were amazing. I've never heard singing like that before. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thanks for giving us prayer as a weapon to use, because we need you to solve our problems. Thanks for agreeing to always solve our problems. Thanks for considering our problems to be your responsibility. Thanks for helping us to learn to depend on you and to wallow happily in your graces and in your power. Thanks for your loving kindnesses, which are new every morning. Thanks for your faithfulness. Thanks for giving us direct access to you through prayer, which gives us direct access to your divine power when human strength isn't enough, and it is hardly ever enough. Help us to incorporate prayer into our lives as a habit, as our first thought, so that we make it a regular practice to talk to you about everything with the full confidence that you will always hear us, you will always intercede for us, and you will always bless us with the exact blessings that are the best at that moment for our edification. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1. Prayer is an indicator of privilege and of relationship. Prayer is an indicator of privilege and of relationship. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 say this: what then shall we say face to face with these things? And the things that are being discussed are all the things from Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. What then shall we believers in Christ say face to face with all these blessings? We say, if God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? And the answer is, of course, no one. God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over as a substitute for us all, how will God the Father not also, with our union with the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation, not freely give us all things? God freely gives us all things. He wanted everything for us, and he gave us everything. And as believers in Christ, we have to realize that we are creatures of tremendous privilege. Our privilege comes from our relationship with our God. Our God is the source of all things. And we are the intended recipients of what? Of all things. And he spoils us with the wealth of his glorious riches. And we stand in awe of him as we attempt to grasp all that he has done for us in the past, all that he is doing for us right this minute, and all that he is about to do for us in the very near future. And as recipients of his love, we learn to love as he does. We have the desire to be the source of blessings for others, to spoil others as we are spoiled. Magic happens when we love as God loves, unconditionally. Our God loves us unconditionally. That means that there is no way that you could ever get God to love you more than he does right now. And there is no way that you could ever do anything to make him love you less than he does right now. And he has always loved you that way from eternity past to now, and he always will. There's never been a time when you weren't personally, by name, in his mind. He loves you, he's crazy about you, and it's so easy for us to forget about that as we go through the day-to-day ramblings of our lives. His love turns our thoughts to giving as he gives, especially at this time of the year. We imitate the source-recipient relationship that we experience with our God for the benefit of others. One of the things that we're doing this Christmas is participating in the Adopt a Family program. And that is a great opportunity for us to give and to love as God loves, and to show that our Christianity actually means something. That being Christians makes a difference, and that we're going to share with other people the same love and the same gifts that God has given to us. We are not only spoiled, but we are lucky, because access to our God is as close as our thoughts. And he stands at the ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on a moment-by-moment basis to do everything for us. And all we have to do is call. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 says this, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "All things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. All we have to do is call. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "His divine power has granted to us believers in Christ everything pertaining to the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and godliness, which is the functioning of the Christian way of life, through the true knowledge of him as a person that we're in relationship with, who called us to tremendous privilege by his own glory and excellence." As I reflect on the things that we've learned in our study of prayer, privilege is the word that comes to mind. Prayer is a privilege. We are privileged to have access to prayer, and we are privileged to be able to use prayer as if it were a weapon. And as I reflect, I have an attitude of gratitude about the relationship that I have with God and for the many blessings that he has given to me, including prayer. And I thank our God for the privileges that he has given to all of us and for the chance we have to call all these privileges to mind every time we meditate on the Word. And I think we don't do that nearly enough. And I pray that as we reflect over and over again on the things that he is telling us through his word, that your privileges become more and more apparent to you and more awe-inspiring for you, because it is certainly awe-inspiring to me. For that awareness to happen, however, we must change the lens with which we look at God and his word. Let me repeat that. If we are to understand the awe-inspiring nature of these privileges that we have to change the lens with which we look at God and his word. When we are looking through the lens of religion, when we are looking through the lens of legalism, as many of us have for many years, the privileges that God has given us become distorted and debased. When we see the privileges that God has given us, though, through his eyes, when we go to Rio in Brazil and we crawl up the back of that statue and we look out through the eyes of that statue as if we were looking out from behind God's eyes, we see a completely different thing. When we see the privileges that God has given us through his eyes, we see a completely different story, the true story. Because man wants to distort and debase what our God has done. But when we see through God's eyes, we see the story of privilege. We see how much he wants to spoil us. For example, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Your God spoils you. And when we focus on sin as if it hasn't been forgiven, as if it hasn't been paid for, it distorts and debases our souls. And that day is over at Barah Ministries. That is not our reality. Our reality is looking at life through God's eyes and seeing what He sees and letting our soul be affected by that, that we are spoiled with privileges that stagger the imagination, that boggle the mind, and that we need to reflect on those things at all times, not on our mistakes. When our children are learning to walk and they fall down, we don't stand over them and tell them, "Why did you fall? What's wrong with you?" We encourage them. The privileges that our God gives us should encourage us. Amen. And they should call. We should call these to mind every moment. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this: "I, Paul, say, keep on walking by means of the influence of the person of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit." That is not the filling of the Spirit. That's the person of the Spirit. Keep on walking by means of the influence of the person of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. That's what we miss. We miss the person. And as I said earlier in a lesson this year, if you miss the person, you miss everything. How long have we been missing the person? "I, Paul, say, keep on walking by means of the influence of the person of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. And you will ook," in the Greek, "absolutely no, not never," the strongest negative that you can get, "absolutely no, not never, carry out the desires of the flesh." What does that mean exactly? What it means is, as believers in Christ, we may be tempted by our dead old self that resides in our body, but we never have to follow its lead. When we do follow the lead of the dead old self, it is called sin. Sin, to miss the mark of the plan of God. Sin. Yet we can make a different choice. We can depend on the indwelling Spirit and His magnificent influence instead of depending on the old self and its false promises for happiness and for success. Instead, or we can reject depending on ourselves for happiness and for success. This fundamental truth is one that we believers in Christ need to keep at the forefront of our minds, that we are to depend on the indwelling Spirit. And when you have been debased and distorted in your soul by legalism and religion, what takes that place? What takes the place of the indwelling Spirit? You. As if somehow you can do something that is more magnificent than what the Holy Spirit can do. And we know that that's absolutely ridiculous. We cannot do that. We need to keep that at the forefront of our minds, that we are dependent on the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are not dependent on ourselves. And we have a great example of a creature who thought that he could depend on himself. Remember Satan's egregious error, Isaiah 14, 14. "I, Satan, will make myself like the Most High." Satan didn't even come close. He never had a prayer of making himself anything like the Most High. And our Most High is so fantastic that if he had any chance of making himself like the Most High, that our God would have willingly granted the privilege. That's how great our God is. That's how much our God loves Satan unconditionally, the way he loves all creatures unconditionally. But Satan didn't come close. Back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this: "The flesh sets its desire in rebellion against the influence of the Spirit." You have a sin nature. You have an old self. And it sets itself in rebellion against the influence of the person of God, the Holy Spirit. It hates God. There is a part of you that absolutely hates God, the sin nature and its old self. And that part of you, which is called the flesh, sets itself in rebellion against the influence of the Spirit. And the Spirit sets his desire against the influence of the dead flesh. The conflict. For these are in opposition to one another. And after that verse, when we look at this conflict through God's eyes, the battle of the flesh and its battle with the person of God the Holy Spirit, we can easily see that a believer in Christ is not in the flesh. A believer in Christ cannot be ever in the flesh. We are not in the flesh. That is the state of an unbeliever. Now, believers can do the deeds of the flesh. That's a completely different matter than being in the flesh. We are not in Adam any longer. At the moment of salvation, that matter was taken care of. We are not in the flesh. We are not in Adam. We are in Christ. Those are terms for unbelievers. Believers can never be mistaken as being in the flesh. Now, we can do the deeds of the flesh, though. Galatians 5:19 says this, the deeds of the flesh are evident. And after that verse, a whole list of the deeds of the flesh. And we can do those as believers in Christ. But because we're doing those does not make us in the flesh. Our in the flesh problem was taken care of at the moment of salvation. So after that verse, the list of the deeds, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 says this, in Adam, all die spiritually. That was our condition at physical birth. We were in Adam. We were in the flesh. But that is not our condition any longer. We believers in Christ are not in the flesh. We believers in Christ are not in Adam. Unbelievers are. We are children of privilege. And we are the adopted sons of the sovereign of the universe. And when we choose to indulge in the deeds of the flesh, which is called sin, it does not change our privileges one bit. Not one bit. It does not take us out of union with Christ. It does not take away our status as a priest. It does not take away our status as a saint. It does not take away our status as an ambassador. It does not remove our justification. It does not steal our redemption. It does not change our reconciliation. It does not change the fact that at the moment of salvation, you had absolute righteousness imputed to you. It changes none of that. Yet those of us who come from legalistic backgrounds have been convinced deeply in our souls, distorted and debased deeply in our souls, to believe those lies. And they are lies. And there is nothing in the New Testament that substantiates those lies. And when men tell those lies, they never take you to Scripture to prove their lies. Scripture says something very different. And our eyes are open now because we're looking at life from behind God's eyes. And we as Christians are tired of the matter of sin which was put to bed before we were even created. Jesus Christ was set to go to the cross before we were even created. The sin matter is finished. Forgiven. Done. Not to ever be brought up again. Yet we as Christians keep doing the very thing that God refuses to do. Bringing up our sins to ourselves over and over and over again. And God refuses to do it, but we know better. We know better than him, so we need to keep doing it. And when we do that, and when our eyes are on that, our eyes are not on the fact that we are spoiled children of privilege. We must not miss this. If you think that doing the deeds of the flesh takes away all of your phenomenal benefits that you received at the moment of salvation, you are sadly mistaken. You believers in Christ are swans. You are not ducks. No offense, Caleb. Aflac. But you can think that you're a duck. Yet a swan will never be like a duck. A swan cannot be mistaken for a duck. Yet a swan can think like a duck, can act like a duck. But that does not make it a duck. It's still a swan. Still gorgeous. We believers in Christ are not in the flesh. We believers in Christ are not in Adam. We are in the Spirit. In pneumati. We are indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. We are in fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. And we can never get out of fellowship with God the Holy Spirit for one simple reason. We didn't put ourselves in that condition. And so there's nothing we can do to take ourselves out of it. An immutable God, a God who never changes, put us in that position. And nothing and no one can change it. And especially not you. Amen?
Amen?
And whoever told you the lie that you could change it is a liar. It cannot be changed. And Scripture says it. We are in the Spirit. We believers are in Christ. We're in union with Christ. We're in permanent union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can never get out of our permanent union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. We can never get out of in the Spirit. We can never get out of in Christ. That makes us pretty special. Not because of anything we did in self-righteousness, but because of what an amazing God did for us, a God who loves us unconditionally. And how could we ever have thought anything different? Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, if you believers in Christ are led by the indwelling Spirit, first class condition if in the Greek, and you are, if, and it's true, you are not under the influence of the Mosaic law. We as church age believers are not under the influence of the Mosaic law. We are not under the influence of the Old Testament. The Old Testament occurred before the cross. The cross changed everything. The focus in the Old Testament was sin. The focus in the Old Testament was rules. Why? To prove to you that you couldn't do it. To prove to you that you couldn't keep the rules. That you're not strong enough in your own righteousness to keep the rules. The Mosaic Law directs your attention to your sins and your sinfulness. And that is not what the new spiritual species, the new creature, is designed to focus on. We are the answer. We are not in the age of Israel. We are not at the time before the cross when sins were the focus of God's plan. We are the privileged children of a gracious God. Amen. We are in the Spirit. We are not in the flesh. We are not in Adam. Take a 5-minute break.
before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Welcome back. How are you spoiled kids doing?
Good.
Doesn't it feel good to look in the Bible and get a picture of how spoiled you are?
Amen.
Isn't it nice to be children of privilege? You should feel like one of the Williams over in England, one of the kids over in England. Whose kids are they? George? Are they George's kids? Oh, yeah, George and what's his name? And Lady Di, right? Yeah. Those kids. Yeah. They're kids of privilege, too, right? What's his name? Was it Charles, right? Yeah, I don't like the guy, so I don't remember his name. But Charles and Diana, yeah, that's it. Charles and Diana. I wasn't into that love affair with those two. But, you know, their kids do stupid stuff, but they're still royalty. We do stupid things, we're still royalty. There's a big difference between a creature of privilege who is in the spirit and a creature of condemnation who is in the flesh. That's the difference between believers and unbelievers. It's the difference between night and day. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8. Because maybe you're saying, well, I don't believe you, Pastor Rory. What, are we to take your word for it? No, you're not to take my word for it. You take the New Testament's word for it. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 comes out with a big strike in the back of the head for children of privilege. And what does it say? It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. You, as a believer in Christ, could never be mistaken for an unbeliever. You are not in the flesh. You're not in Adam. You're in the Spirit. The two of those are like night and day. You could never be mistaken for that. Those who are in the flesh cannot say there is no condemnation. As a matter of fact, John 3:18 says they're condemned already. Romans 8:2, for the law of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit, and the law of the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life, which you get at the moment of salvation, a life in union with Jesus Christ, has set you free from the law of the sin nature and the law of spiritual death. In the Spirit, what is that? The law of the Zoe life and the law of your union with Christ. In the flesh, in Adam, what is that? The law of the sin nature and the law of spiritual death. Night and day. Nowhere near each other. Never the two shall meet. We believers in Christ are free from the flesh, although we are still living in a body that has a sin nature. But we are not in the flesh as unbelievers are. Our flesh is dead. It was crucified at the cross. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says it. I have been crucified with Christ. The I life, the life of the sin nature, crucified at the cross, and thus dead. And it is no longer I who live. It is no longer the I life that lives in a believer in Christ. But Christ lives indwelling me. That's the mystery of this age, the church age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Zoe life, the resurrection life, which I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and who gave himself up as a substitute for me. And therefore, here's the verse that we always miss when we go to Galatians 2:20. The next verse, therefore, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if, just for the sake of argument, we say righteousness comes through obedience to the Mosaic law, even though it doesn't, then Christ died needlessly. You see, if there's a self-righteousness available, why do we need Christ? But if you think that you can do something self-righteous to save yourself, if you can do something that makes you holy, Why do we need Christ? If all it takes is confessing your sins and then you're clean, why do we need Christ? Why do we need him to go to the cross? Why would he have been stupid enough to go to the cross if you could do it on your own? I don't think Christ is stupid. I think he knew what he was doing from the beginning. And I think we need him. Yes. Believers in Christ are under God's grace. We are not under his wrath. And when we think erroneously that we have to do something to clean ourselves up, when we focus on our sins, when we think we have to confess our sins to be forgiven, when the forgiveness occurred at the cross, we are nullifying the grace of God and we are attacking the character and nature of our God, who says that our forgiveness has been accomplished in the past and that it stands finished forever. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this: God the Father rescued us, believers in Christ, from the domain of darkness. And every time you hear darkness or light, it's a reference to unbelief and belief. Darkness is unbelief, light is belief, and ne'er the twain shall meet. And you never hear a believer discussed as being part of the darkness. We are not of the darkness. We are of the light. We are in the light. And there is no darkness in us at all. We are under God's grace. God the Father rescued us, believers in Christ, from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And what does the forgiveness of sins mean? It means a complete pardon. It means a remission. It means done forever. Our president is looking forward to that time coming up. When is it? How long, much longer has he got to go? 2 years? 2 years from now, he will be a duck. Quack, quack. He will be a lame duck. And his last official act will be what? Pardons. For all of his buddies. He'll get all his buddies out of jail. Right? What does that mean exactly? When the president says, you have a full pardon, what does it mean? We're never going to discuss your crime again. It's as if it never occurred. Now, if the president of the United States can do that, as a human being, what can Jesus Christ do? A little better. Just a little. And the self-righteousness lie that somehow we can clean ourselves up taints our whole viewpoint concerning our status as privileged children with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing I think people miss more than anything else. You see, night and day are different. They're not anywhere near the same. They're not close. They're completely different. And so if you tell me that you can focus on legalism and sin, and that that's the same as being a Christian who's focused on all these privileges that we have, I will tell you, you are nuts. If you tell me that exposing yourself to that lie over and over and over again for years doesn't distort and debase your soul, I will tell you that you're nuts. But I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that because you're not going to believe me more than you believe yourself. So, believe yourself. What does your life say? What is the statement that your life makes after all of that? That's what you have to ask yourself. Do you feel stronger because you were a part of that? Do you feel edified because you were a part of that? Do you feel like you've advanced because you were a part of that? I don't. I feel debilitated by it, ruined by it, mad about it. Why didn't I look and see that I had all these phenomenal privileges. Why aren't I just a little bit cocky? When you're a priest, you should be walking with a strut. When you're in union with Christ, there's nothing more special in the universe than that. To be considered the same as Christ by his Father. To be looked at blameless and holy right this minute. Not in a future state. To have a resurrection life right now. Not later. That's what we have. We should have our chests a little poked out. We should be a little bit cocky. And every time we get down, we should stand up and say, wait a minute. I'm a privileged child. My God thinks I hung the moon. Why am I down on myself today? Because God the Father, if you look at you through God the Father's eyes, you will see a compassion that can't even be described in words. You will see a love that cannot be described in words. That's who you are. Why didn't we see that? Because you can't see that if you focus on sins. You can't see it. You can't see it when you're focused on your defects. People who are afraid cannot see the basket. Cannot see the goal. Because fear cuts off your thinking. Persecution cuts off your thinking. Take a kid. Put him in a room. Every day go in and tell him 5 times during the day, you're a jerk. Bring him out 30 days later and ask him what he is. What do you think he's going to say? I'm a jerk. You think that repeated condemnation of self doesn't affect us? It affects us. The Bible says it affects us. Romans 8:4 says this, believers in Christ, do not walk, do not have a lifestyle according to the influence of the flesh. Believers in Christ have a lifestyle according to the influence of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh, the influence of the flesh, unbelievers, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the influence of the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Yes. This is beautiful coming up, Romans 8:6. For the mind that is set on the flesh, the mind of the unbelievers, is set on the dead things. But the mind set on the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit, is set on the Zoe life and is set on peace. Do you see the difference between a mind set on dead stuff and the mind set on the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and peace? Do you see the difference? Because that's the difference between unbelievers and believers. We are not set on the dead things. A mind set on peace knows this: God has nothing against you. Believers, God has nothing against you. You're on his team. You're in union with Christ. You're in the Spirit. God has nothing against you. How dare you think that he does? Believers in Christ, Romans 8:7. Because the mind set on the flesh, unbelievers, here's how you know you're not an unbeliever. Here's how you know you're not in the flesh. Here's how you know you're not in Adam. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. Why? Because it's not even able to do it. It has no ability to do it. Unbelievers don't even have the ability to worship God. The only thing that they can do is beg for salvation. I believe, help my unbelief. That's all we can do as unbelievers. We've all been in that condition. We were all born physically. We were all on the wrong side of a barrier, helpless and hopeless to have a relationship with God. And the only way we were able to do it was because of Christ and what he did for us at the cross. We've been in that position. We are no longer in that position. it should be absolutely clear to you that the description of someone in the flesh is not a description of a believer in Christ. We as believers in Christ are absolutely able to subject ourselves to the law of God. Romans 8:8 compounds the unbeliever's error. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That does not describe a believer in Christ. We are totally pleasing to our God. Why? Because we're in union with Christ, because we have absolute righteousness. That's why. And that was a gift, a free gift from our magnificent God. Romans 8:9. However, you believers in Christ are not in the flesh. Okay, you didn't believe me? There it is. I didn't write that. You believers in Christ are not in the flesh. You believers in Christ are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God indwells you, first class condition if, and it does, believers. But if anyone does not have the indwelling God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, unbelievers, that person does not belong to Christ. He's not a believer. You didn't believe me? There it is. Romans 8:10. If Christ is indwelling you, and he is, if you're a believer in Christ, though the body is dead because of the indwelling sin nature, which, by the way, was crucified at the cross, yet the human spirit is alive because of possessing absolute righteousness. There's what makes you special. At the moment of salvation, our God gave us absolute righteousness. And that means in his eyes, we are perfect. That's amazing. Why do we ever think anything less of ourselves as royalty? God's imputed righteousness makes us born again. It makes us spiritually alive. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him, God the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, God the Holy Spirit, will also give the Zoe life, the resurrection life, to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So you still got some problems with the fact that you have a sin nature? Romans 8:11 says, hey, don't worry about it, because the one who raised Jesus from the dead is going to take care of that by giving you the indwelling spirit and giving you the Zoe life, the resurrection life, and he's going to put it right in your mortal body to counteract all the effects of the sin nature in you. We believers in Christ have the Zoe life now, not a future event. Eternal life for believers in Christ is a present reality, right now. Romans 8:12. So then, brethren, believers in Christ, we are under obligation. So then, brethren, believers in Christ, we, believers in Christ, are under obligation. Not to the flesh. That's what obligation unbelievers have. But to live according to the, and not to live according to the influence of the flesh, not to live in the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, unbelievers, you must die the second death, the lake of fire. Is that a description of a believer in Christ? Are you going to go to the lake of fire? No, you can't. You are not going to die the second death. So if you're living according to the flesh, you must die the second death, the lake of fire. But if you are living by the influence of the indwelling spirit, which you believers do, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, which you can do, by the way, the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. And you will live by means of the power of the spirit. There's your choice. Stop doing the deeds of the flesh. Stop it. And instead what? Do things that come from the power of the spirit. Listen to the influence of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all that. I forget it about seven. Two more after that. Gentleness. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, believers in Christ, these are the sons of God. Did you wake up this morning? Give yourself a good stretch and say, ah, another day for the Son of God. Oh, I am a son of God. Ah, I am amazing. Where's my robe? Being a son of God is a privilege of relationship. Amen. And you are privileged children of an amazing God. Romans 8:15. For you believers in Christ have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. And that's what religion and legalism wants to do to you. It wants to make you afraid of your relationship with your God. It wants you to look at him with skewed eyes, as if he's sitting in heaven with a computer, counting up your sins and waiting for you to come in front of him so he can spit them back in your face. Why would he do that? He paid for them at the cross. Amen. And why do you do it when they've been paid for at the cross? That's not our God. You believers in Christ have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Which means what? Thanks, Dad. When we listen to the old self, we are afraid. When we listen to the old self, we are afraid. God has given Christians the privilege of adoption as sons, not fear. And we must cry out upon that realization. Thanks, Dad. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies, along with our spirit, that we are children of God. If you have a human spirit, you're a child of God. You're born with a body and a soul, but at the moment of salvation, you get a human spirit, and that makes you a child of God. Romans 8:17. And if we are children of God, and we are heirs also, heirs of God the Father and fellow heirs with Christ. What does that mean? Everything Christ gets, we get. Christ has a resurrection body. What does that mean for you, believers in Christ? You're going to have a resurrection body. Christ was resurrected for the dead. What does that mean for you, believers in Christ? You're going to be resurrected from the dead. Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. What does that mean for you, believers in Christ? You're going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. Christ is in heaven. What does that mean for you, believers in Christ? You're going to be in heaven. Are you bored yet? Are you bored? Spoiled, privileged children. Are you bored hearing about all the great things that are in store for you in the future, but also that you have right this minute? And if we are children of God, we are heirs also, heirs of God the Father and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, and we do, so that we might be glorified with him. And when we realize the wonder of our privilege and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives our prayers powerful significance. And we'll hear more about that in the next lesson. Closing song, Forgiveness.
Show me how to love me. set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Lord Jesus Christ, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for opening our eyes to the things that are right in front of us. And thank you for showing us all the magnificence that you have given to us. Thank you for making us aware of our gifts. And thank you for keeping them at the forefront of our minds. And I pray that all those who are affected by religion and legalism will be humble enough to look at what you're showing, and who will, and that they will receive what it is you're giving and get their egos out of the way so that they can see all the magnificent things that you have planned for them. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.